I had a song that has come to my mind over the last few days. It is, What Can He Do? What is God able to do? And you know, even in the Bible, there are men that did not see God as having an ability to make much of a change. I'd like to look at a couple of those first before we look at what He is able to do. In fact, as we look at these, we're able to see what God is able to do. One of those, and you know, we've heard these stories all our life. Heard them when we were children. But you know, it's good for us to review them, because the circumstance might be different, but the need is still the same. We need God to help us. So the first one I'd like to look at is the three Hebrew children. And I've wondered about this story. When we hear Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego being there, and when Nebuchadnezzar says, I'm making this decree, everybody fall down, because I've got this furnace burning. You know what, in his country, I don't think he needed a furnace. I don't think those folks would, all he need to do is just tell them, bow down and worship this, and they'd have been happy to do it. Yeah. So what was the furnace for? You know what, he had just conquered a land that believed there was a God. Seriously believed there was a God. And he brought some of those men back with him. You know, I believe even though the land of Israel had sinned against God, that's why Nebuchadnezzar was able to take them over, I believe he still realized, you know what, there is something in their belief in God. Yes. You know, I noticed some of the places where heathen kings would take over God's people, and they would tell them, God has allowed me to do this. And you know what? There's places where God himself said, I have allowed these kings to come and take you over. Well, King Nebuchadnezzar, as he looks at, I want people to bow down, but I'm going to make this fiery furnace so that it will be intimidating. To who? Got a few people that have come from a place where they believe there's a God. I believe that's the only reason he could have done it. I don't believe anybody in his own land would say, you won't have that much trouble from me bowing down. We bow down to other things anyhow. But he tells them, he says, I've got a fiery furnace. And then he goes on to say in the third chapter, and you remember when the men came to the king and said, okay, you've made the decree, you played the music, there's some men that did not bow down. And so all of a sudden, 13th verse of the third chapter, Nebuchadnezzar in his rage and fury commanded Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, brought these men before the king. And he spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, did not you serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if it be ready, when you hear, and he named out all the sounds of the music, it'll be well if you bow down then. But if you worship not, you shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And then look how he finishes it out. You know, we're looking at the subject of tonight of what can he do. He's saying, what can he do? And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? You feel pressure today of who is that God that can deliver you in the troubles that we face in 2020 with the world around us? But I like what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the 16th verse, answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. You remember Daniel when he stood before the king? Remember when the king came to see if Daniel was still alive the next morning? What did Daniel say to him? O king, live forever. He had a respect for the king. Because you know what? He realized that that king had been coerced into something that he didn't realize he was doing. Yeah. He had a respect for the king. These men say, we're not careful to answer you in this. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. He will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, You know, you cannot lose being a Christian if you put yourself in his hands, in God's hands, to where if it goes this way, it's good. If it goes this way, I've got it committed into the Lord's hands. That's what we call, we're a winner either way. But if it doesn't go the way we think it could go, but if not, we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. He was going to give them another opportunity to bow down and thinking, you know what? They can smell the smoke. They can see the fire. Surely they will be intimidated to do it. And going to give them another opportunity. And you know what? They kind of let him know, you're wasting your time. Whatever you want to do, go ahead and do it, because you're wasting your time to play that music one more time. We're trusting in what God is able to do. And you know, I look at what happened here. The soldiers, the men that threw them in, died from the heat. And these men go into there and their clothes don't burn. The only thing that burns was what bound them.
Yes.
You know, we can live in a place, I believe, to where the only thing that burns is what the world tries to bind us with, to where we can be free in the Lord. And it says he looked, you know, he had to have seen the men that died, that threw them in. And he sees these men walking around without hurt. And he also sees something else. He says, I see a fourth man. And he looks like the Son of God. Now, you know, there's a lot of commentaries about what all that means. I'd like to take it just like it says. Somehow God enlightened him that there is a higher power. What can he do? And you look at the end of this, it did a total change for Nebuchadnezzar. 29th verse, I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces. Their houses be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. So there have been men in the past, as there will be men today, that say, who is that God that is able to deliver you? I was looking at another place that someone came up against God's people. It's in 2 Kings in the 19th chapter. This is with Hezekiah and the king of Assyria. I was looking in the 10th verse of the 19th chapter. And it says, thus shall you speak to Hezekiah, king of Judah, saying, let not thy God in whom thou trustest deceive thee, saying, Jerusalem shall not be delivered into the hand of the king of Assyria. And then he goes on down and says, behold, thou hast heard what the kings of Assyria have done to all lands by destroying them utterly, and shalt thou be delivered? See, you're no different than all the rest of them that serve gods. You're serving a God too. And we overcame them, and we will overcome you. It says, have the gods of the nations delivered them which my fathers have destroyed? And he starts naming them out. Well, when Hezekiah took that message to the Lord, 19 and 17, here's his prayer. You know, we don't have to deny what Satan would like to do to us.
Yes.
We don't have to deny any of the accusations that he brings of what he has done and what he plans to do to us. Look at this in 17. Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have destroyed the nations and their gods, their lands, and have cast their gods into the fire. Lord, I agree with what they have said. They have conquered these lands and they have cast their gods into the fire. But look at this. They were no gods. They were the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore, they have destroyed them. You know, for us to always keep, with the pressures around us today, that we will always keep in mind what God is able to do. Because in this one right here, he recognized, boy, they've been conquering one country, one group of people after another. And they're now here with confidence that we're going to be the next one. But you know, they took it to the Lord in prayer. And it goes on down. Now a message comes to the king of Assyria in the 27th verse. What can he do? This is God now. I know thy abode, speaking to the king of Assyria. I know that you're going out and thy coming in and thy rage against me. Because thy rage against me and thy tumult is come up into mine ears. Therefore I will put, this is God speaking, I will put my hook in thy nose and my bridle in thy lips, and I'll turn thee back the way which thou camest. Someone that says, who is that God that you're serving that can deliver you? And here the God of heaven says, I'm fixing to start leading you around like you would lead an animal. And it goes on down, 34th verse, God saying, I'm going to defend this city. I'm going to save it for my own sake and for my servant David's sake. It came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. 100, I wonder what size group of people would that look like? 185,000 people the next morning were dead. For no reason, there had not been a battle. There had not been anything to cause them to die except the God of heaven. Yes. And to me, this is an encouragement to me. But the king didn't die from it. Sennacherib says he departed. He went and returned, and he dwelt at Nineveh. Came to pass as he was worshiping the house of his God that his sons smote him with the sword, and they escaped. Who is that God that can deliver you? And then he went back to worship his God after 185,000 of his men had died, and he died by his own sons there. What I want to look at tonight is the trouble that would come up against us if we would be able to measure it always against what God is able to do. I'd like to look at a verse over in Isaiah 59 and 19. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. May we always be able to believe that. When the enemy comes up against us like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. There's another verse that I'd like to look at in Ephesians 3rd chapter and the 20th verse. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And then it has another little piece there, according to the power that worketh in us. Because there is a place over in Psalms, like while we're thinking about this, according to the power that worketh in us, let's go to Psalm 78 and 41. Because it says that his chosen people had a problem. It says, yea, they turned back, tempted God, and limited the Holy One of Israel. What can he do? You know, his power can be limited by me, by my unbelief of what he can do. These people, it says, they limited the Holy One of Israel. They remembered not his hand, nor the day when he delivered them from the enemy. How he had wrought his signs in Egypt and his wonders in the field of Zoan. And in the 56th through the 58th verse, says they provoked him to anger with their high places. They moved him with jealousy with their graven images. When God heard this, he was wroth and greatly abhorred Israel. We can cause God's power to be limited. According to the power that worketh in you. You know, Christ today carries the largest part of the load for us, but we have something to do. I was looking at a place, blind Bartimaeus, in Mark, the 10th chapter. You know, he had something that Bartimaeus himself had to do to be able to be healed. 10 and 46 says, and they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus sat in the highway side begging. When he heard it was Jesus, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Many charged him that they'd hold their peace, but he cried the more a great deal. You know, one thing we've got to do is no matter what the world would push us, that it's not going to help. Cry out the greater, Lord, I need your help. So he did not let the world around him, the people around him, stop him. I've got faith in to believe that God has the answer for me, that Jesus has the answer for him on that day. It says, many charged him that he'd hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stood and commanded him to be called, and they called a blind man, saying, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. He cast away his garment, rose, and came to Jesus. Jesus answered and said to him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. Had a confidence, if I can just get Jesus' attention, everything is going to be okay. And I look at this next verse, because what does it say? He's able to do exceeding abundantly above what we could ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Here's the power that worked in Bartimaeus. Jesus said to him, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. It was your faith that made you whole. For us today, that we would be able to have a confidence in what God can do for us. There was another one over in Mark, the 5th chapter. To what level would we have faith? Could we have it to this level of this man? 5:22. It says, behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet, besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her that she may be healed, and she shall live. Jesus started following him, and we see in this one where the woman with the issue of blood took up some of his time. To where on down it says where it told about how that they already came to her and said she's dead. 35. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master anymore? You know, it seemed like, okay, this is the end of it. He wasn't able to make it in time. But you know what? Jesus isn't affected by that. Jesus was able to tell him in 36, be not afraid, only believe. And he came to him and said, the damsel is not dead, she's sleeping. And says they laughed him to scorn, had some unbelievers of what God was able to do. And you know what? We're living in a time where things are wanting to be brought to us that cause us to limit what God is able to do. You know, whenever Jesus went into his own country in Matthew, the 13th chapter, you know, you would think that he would be so well received and he would heal all those people because, I mean, that's his own country. But it says in 13:54, when he was coming to his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? And here's something that happened. Because he was in his own country, they recognized who he was. And they said, is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, his brethren James and Joseph, and Simon and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man these things? They were offended in him. Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. He did not many mighty works because of their unbelief. So I was looking at this at an opportunity when he could have helped his own country. They recognized him as who I remember you to be. I know your dad, I know your mom, I know your brothers and your sisters. So how can there be anything about you being able? I mean, surely they had heard how he was able to heal. So is it possible that I can limit the Holy One of Israel? Things that he can do for me. There's another verse that I'd like to look at in Hebrews. Because when it comes to salvation, what limits him? Can he be limited? I was looking at a verse in Hebrews 7:25. Where it said that he was able Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. That song that came to me the other day, this is the first verse of it. What can he do with a life that's steeped in sin? What can he do with no hope of life within? Lift up the fallen man out of the sinking sand. Through Calvary's saving plan, that's what he can do. And it made me think about Paul's testimony of what he can do for someone. We heard about it in a Sunday school class this morning. But over in 1 Timothy, it says Christ came, 1 Timothy 1 and 15. Here's what he came for. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. That Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners. And then he said, of whom I am the chief. He's able to save me. He can save everyone else is what Paul is saying. What can he do with a life that's steeped in sin? You know, what can he do with a religious person that's heading the wrong direction? Can make a change with them. What can he do for a sinner? There's another verse that I was looking at over in Acts 2. And you know, this was available back then and it's still available today for those who believe. Acts 2 and 21. It shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, I mean, he made it available for every person from that time on to this, whosoever believeth shall not perish but have everlasting life. So I was thinking about another phase of it. He's not able only to save, but he's able to keep. He's able to save a person and take them throughout life faithful and make heaven their home in the end. There was, in 2 Timothy, it says, I know in whom I have believed. I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. That's 2 Timothy 1 and 12. So I'm persuaded that those things that I have put in his hands, that I want to make heaven my home, he's able to keep those things and help me to be faithful. I was thinking of the story of the man that was with the unclean spirit, dwelt in the tombs, and Jesus came and healed him to where he was clothed and in his right mind. And you remember when the people of the city, when they saw what had happened, but also when they saw that their livelihood had been taken from the swine that were in the sea now, they ask him, would you leave? So Jesus is about to leave and that man says, I want to go with you. Now, you know what? It seemed like that would be the best thing Jesus could do is get him out of that country, take him with him, and he will be a follower of Christ. You know what Jesus told him? I want you to stay here and you just tell what I've done for you. What had he done for him? You know, he hadn't known him but just a short few hours maybe. But he said, just tell what he's done for you, what I've done for you. And off they sail. And it says he published it. He went around. All he told was what he knew. I was this man and now I'm this man. And those people were able to see it. And what that testimony did was, it says when Jesus returned, did the people say, nuh-uh, still stay away from here? It says the people received him gladly. This is in Luke. Let's just look at that for a minute. In Luke in the 8th chapter. So after they have said, I want you to leave, and one man stayed behind and told what God had done for him. And it wasn't that that man had been with Jesus for a long time. He had a short message to tell. But what he had also was all the people that had tried to restrain him in the past and were not successful also now see the difference. And so 39th verse, he's telling him, return to your house, show how great things God hath done unto thee. He went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. Came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. Now that's something. From what God has done for one person, when I would like to just follow Jesus, it'd be so much better. And he says, just stay and just tell what I've done for you. And it turned those people around. Well, I've got another verse of this song. What can he do? Okay, we're past sin now, but you know what? We can still have some other troubles come into our life. What can he do for a heavy laden soul? So sad and blue, filled with sorrows yet untold. Give to your heart a song. You ever had a song come to your mind that encourages you? Give to your heart a song with every burden gone. Your troubles will have flown. That's what he can do. I was looking over in Psalms because he's able to do that. I'd like to look at Psalms 42. Because in this world that we're living in right now, we need all the help that we can get. And this is some of that help he wants to give us. 42 and 8. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. That the Lord would, in the middle of the night, that we could ask him, Lord, when I wake up, I'm going to be thinking about something. You know, I can be thinking about the news of yesterday. But Lord, I would like for you to bring something to my mind that will help me to think about you. And he is able to bring us a song in the night. There's another verse in Psalm 77 and 6. I call to remembrance my song in the night. So here he's in trouble again. And now I remember, you know what? I used to have a song come to me in the night. I commune with my own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. You know, God is the God of all comfort. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And this isn't just the world in sin. This is us when we have troubles. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And you shall find rest to your soul. In 2020, we need some rest to our soul at times. There can be trouble stirring all around us. Our mind is running with things. And God is able to, what can he do for a heavy laden soul? He's able to help us out with that also. So there's another verse that leads up to the verse of scripture that leads up to the third verse of this song. John 14 and the first verse. Jesus is saying, don't let your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, you believe also in me. And then he tells us what is available for us. John 14 and 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Part of this load that we can carry can be lifted when I'm able to see, you know what? There's been a place prepared for me. If I will be faithful, don't let my heart be troubled. If I'll be faithful, there's something out ahead for me. And then the third verse of this song, the time when the world itself hates this verse more than anything else, would like to avoid this verse more than anything else. What can he do when the chilling hand of death lays hold on you and you draw your final breath? The world will say, what can he do then? Oh, folks, that's the best time for God to be working, to transport us from this side to the other side. His power will still abide. It'll guide safely over the tide to heaven's happy side. That's what he can do. Yes. You know, when Satan looked at Job, he said, skin for skin, yea, all a man hath, he'll give for his life. You know, the world today would give everything they have to extend life for a little bit longer. You know what? The Christian can say, Lord, I'd like to stay just as long as you'd have me to stay here. But when you call for me, I'm ready to go. Hebrews 11 and 13 tells us about that group that confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims. You know what? If we can go about our daily activity, we still have business to take care of. I have work to go to tomorrow. But if I will realize, you know what, really and truly, I want to be a stranger and a pilgrim here. I'm looking for another city. All of the trouble that is going on right now in our country, let's don't let it get us down. We're just passing through this place. We're headed for another one. And I want to tell you what the devil would love to do is to get us stirred into what's going on right now until I miss heaven when I have the opportunity to go. Got another verse I'd like to look at in 2 Peter. Because if we can keep in view with all of the things here that there's heaven out ahead, I want to make it. 2 Peter in the first chapter. There's some things that he says need to be able to put into your life. Add some things to your life. Eighth verse, if these be in you and abound, they'll make you that you'll neither be barren nor unfruitful. Then it goes on down and it says, 10th verse, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. If you do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Want to be able to hear from God? Come, ye blessed of my Father. Inherit the kingdom that's been prepared for you. Be able to make heaven our home. What can he do? You know, he can keep me through the time that we're living in, and he can help me to be prepared for heaven in the end. He is able to keep that which I've committed unto him. Against that day, the day that I stand before God in the end, I am so thankful for it. He's able to do what other powers can never do. Hear every time you pray, drive all the clouds away. He is able to turn the darkest night to day. That's what he can do. And I'm very thankful for it. I desire your prayers.